The word of God given to us today are Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It is on page 2085 in the Old Testament. Allow me to read. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Amen. Some time ago, an acquaintance gave me a travel journal he wrote as a gift after returning from Camino de Santiago pilgrimage walk in Spain. It is an 800-kilometer route that starts from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port of France and ending in Santiago de Compostela of Spain, where the tomb of Apostle Saint John James is located, requiring 8 hours of walk for 30 days. When I told him, "That is great. I would like to try it one day," he said, with smile, waving his hand, "It is not as romantic as it sounds. It's a walk of penance." In order to walk the pilgrimage of Santiago Compostela, he prepared for 2 years in Korea. He improved his physical fitness, walking total of 2,000 kilometers, 40 kilometers every week. During the pilgrimage walk, starting the walk at 8 a.m., he reaches to the destination by the end of the day. He had to prepare for bread, worrying about lunch before the walk starts. Sometimes he had to walk the same road again, as he took the wrong path after missing a signpost. He had thought he could manage the pilgrimage walk, as he had done a lot of preparation, but he thought about giving up in the middle of the walk. His confidence turned into humbleness. By the time he completed the pilgrimage walk, however, he told me he gained vibrancy in his life, feeling accomplished. However, walking under the hot sun without any shadow, facing bitter winds coming from highlands, carrying a backpack as heavy as life, and sleeping in bunker beds with bedbugs, the pilgrimage walk was not romantic, but a harsh reality. When a travel by own will as a hobby seeking romance and life lesson is not easy, I thought about how was it possible for Jonah to travel from Jerusalem to Nineveh, crossing 900 kilometers of hot desert 2,800 years ago. The way to Nineveh was a way of leaving behind all privileges Jonah had. To Jonah, a nation's spiritual leader and advisor of a king, the Lord commanded him to travel on his own, not as an ambassador with guaranteed immunity. He was told to go as a prophet proclaiming salvation and repentance, not for political negotiation under diplomatic formality. When Jonah received God's command, he was in conflict. He probably thought about the reality and calculated. Lord, not the enemy country Nineveh. Can I go elsewhere? Does it have to be me? Isn't the work I am doing not the work of the Lord? What about my retirement? I want to complete this life with dignity. If you were Jonah, how would you have responded? Jonah had the most accurate information on Nineveh more than any other citizens of Jerusalem. According to Genesis, it is recorded that Nineveh was built by a great hunter, Nimrod. It was built in 4500 BC and became a city with longest history in Mesopotamia region. Nineveh today is called as Nineveh and is located on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, 350 kilometers north of Baghdad, city of the capital city of Iraq. According to archaeological discoveries actively started from 1845, Nineveh had superior high-rise buildings and had lavish housing culture. It was then the most affluent city in the Middle East, with population over 600,000 and city diameter of 96 kilometers. The name Nineveh came from Nina, Sumerian name of goddess of water and love, Ishtar. With the fluent water of Tigris River, agriculture was developed from early on. However, as God said, as wickedness has come upon before me, Nineveh was a city of idol worship filled with the decadent systemic sin and violence of social classes. There was no reason for people of Israel, God's chosen people, to like Nineveh, since God said it was a wicked city. Further, if Assyria, which was at war against Israel and its capital, Nineveh, was renewed, it would become a greater threat to Israel. In fact, in 722 BC, Assyria destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. Jonah, who was in worry, finally decided, verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The first three starts with but. Ordinarily, it would be, the word of the Lord came, therefore he went down. However, the Bible records, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. His life has changed from therefore life to a but life. Why would an act of a prophet who had a keen relationship with God become an act of but? In the history of church, there were many incidents that resulted mistakes, wrongdoings, and misfortune because of bias and misunderstanding of God. Jonah was not an atheist, but Jonah was not able to accept that God would provide grace and salvation to Gentiles. Jonah's narrow theological understanding and view prevented him from seeing God's heart and plan of salvation for all humanity. Jonah had grievance against God's plan to save Gentiles' nation, Nineveh. If a man has grievance, one cannot form a normal relationship. Because Jonah had uncomfortable feelings against God, his spiritual ties were broken off. If the relationship with God is broken off, the desire and self-consciousness hidden inside us grow. So, avoiding therefore life, obeying to the callings, he chose bad life, heading to Tarshish. Nevertheless, the way to Tarshish was smooth. When he arrived at the port of Joppa, a boat heading to Tarshish was waiting. When things go smoothly, should we think, oh, this is the will of God? Or, to the contrary, if Jonah planned to go to Tarshish but tumbled and broke his nose or hurt his leg, should we think, oh, God is telling him not to go, and think again? We should not hastily reach to a conclusion just because things go well or wrong. Jonah stood up and went down to Joppa to get on a boat. The original Hebrew word for going down is yarad, which means going from a higher land to a lower land. The word yarad appears four times in the book of Jonah. Yarad was used when Jonah went down from Jerusalem to Joppa, when he went aboard on a boat to Tarshish, when he went below the deck, and when he was inside a fish. The word yarad most accurately describes how Jonah's life is hitting the bottom in the course of fleeing from God. We should not forget that our life will go downhill if we flee from God. The original Hebrew word of flee from God is milifene Yahweh, with the meaning of from the presence of the Lord. In other words, running away from the Lord means running away from the presence, care, and relationship with God. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 24 explains the reason that children of Israel avoided the face of the Lord and not obeying God. But I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclination of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward, but they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their forefathers. The first reason for disobedience was because they followed inclination of their evil hearts. They calculated too much. Second, it was because they acted stubbornly. In the New Translation, stubbornness is translated as foolish stubbornness. Just as Pharaoh, whose heart became stubborn to the warnings of Moses, they did not yield their wills or stubbornness. Third, it was because they were stiff-necked. It is arrogant heart. If one only considers past glory and experiences importantly, it is difficult to have an open mind. To the contrary, there are people who seek the face of God. Psalm chapter 24, verse 3 teaches those people. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindicate from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Who seeks the face of God? Psalm explains that he has four characteristics. Who has clean hands? Who has pure heart? Who does not lift up his soul to an idol, who does not swear by what is false. The way to Tarshish is lifting up his soul to an idol. It is difficult for those who pursue worldly values to receive blessings of God. Blessings of the Lord is not abundance in possessions or success in the world, but being justified by God of salvation. It is not pursuing visible things of this world, but following eternity, the kingdom of God. Then why did Jonah choose Tarshish? At that time, it was a good place to flee from God because Tarshish was the farthest place to travel by sea. Isaiah chapter 66 introduces Tarshish as follows. I will send some of those who survived to the nations to Tarshish and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations. Because Tarshish was a distant island that has not heard of God, there was nobody to remind Jonah of his callings or asking about the God who gave him his word. Tarshish was a harbor city located in the southeastern coast of Spain at the mouth of Guadalquivir River near the city of Gibraltar. The name Tarshish means smelting works. It flourished as a center of Mediterranean culture in the ancient society when metal was very precious. It is explained in Ezekiel chapter 27 verse 12 as a city exchanging silver, iron, tin, and lead for your merchandise. The reason that Jonah chose Tarshish is because it was a place of high likelihood to earn a fortune. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 9 records as follows. Hammered silver is brought from Tarshish. What the craftsmen and goldsmiths have made, all made by skilled workers. At that time, hammered silver from Tarshish was a luxurious item popular in Israel. Living in Tarshish, There were great chances to enjoy affluent possession, comfortable life, and mild extravagance. Evidently, Tarshish, the city of trade and industry, was more attractive than doing difficult works in Nineveh with wicked politicians and undefeatable armed forces. To Jonah, who had broken off the relationship with the Lord, Tarshish appeared as a land of opportunity to win success, fortune, and comfort. He also thought about a justification to develop a trading route which can contribute to the economy of Israel. He became more agitated as he thought it over. Jonah did not think about what God wants or to whom I am most needed. He pursued what will bring peace and comfort to himself and Israel. So Jonah avoided the vast desert in the east, the way to Nineveh, but chose calm and beautiful Mediterranean Sea in the west, the way to Tarshish. We need to remember one thing here. The way to Tarshish was not free. He had to pay fares. In the last part of verse 3, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Even these days, the largest burden of travel budget is transportation fare. Jonah must have prepared more than a small amount of money to travel such a long distance by sea. But Jonah was not able to enjoy freedom and comfortable future in Tarshish. The boat fare, transportation cost was wasted meaninglessly. Although the life of one with calling is hard and difficult, God fills in and takes responsibility of their needs. Although one leads poor and humble life, there is no lacking. It can be uncomfortable, but not unhappy. Jesus once asked his disciples as follows. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. We think that the life of obedience or calling will be difficult, but the life of disobedience and freedom will be comfortable. Whichever we choose, there is cost for it. It is different in meanings in that, is that eternally beautiful and meaningful, or ending in sorrow pursuing shallowness? But they are same in that both have cost. The boat that Jonah went aboard left the port of Joppa and started moving slowly to Tarshish. As it was moving into an open sea far enough that the coast was no longer visible, Jonah must have felt free. Good to be here. This is an excellent choice. As he was feeling the fresh air of Mediterranean Sea with an overwhelming heart, Jonah must have sang a song something like this, "Let it go, let it go." In the movie Frozen, when Elsa faced a turning point in her life, she left everything behind, leaving her kingdom, and went into a snow mountain. Elsa was afraid of herself appearing before others and proceeded only for her own freedom. The reason that the scene where Elsa leaves her behind her position as a queen, stresses and anxiety of meeting people, and freely performs her magical power expressing herself, the reason it is touching is because it well expresses suppressed minds of modern people. We think about Elsa's condition, sympathize and feel catharsis. All lyrics of Let It Go has meanings, but I was paying particular attention to the following. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Let it go, let it go. I am one with the wind and sky. Let it go, let it go. You will never see me cry. Here I stand, and here I will stay. Let the storm rage again. However, what was really waiting for her was loneliness, destruction, and cold isolation. Feeling of eternal isolation after momentary freedom. That is the biggest problem of life. Jonah also enjoyed momentary freedom, but soon after, he was faced with the stormy ocean. Jonah overlooked one thing. He did not know that if Jonah had a freedom to flee from God, God had freedom to possess Jonah and follow him. The freedom of God possesses those who flee from God, denying the callings and overwhelms them. When one tries hard to avoid and run away, God stretches out his hand and holds him and watches him with regrettable gaze and kind face until one completes his calling. The freedom Jonah obtained was a momentary one, shallow and restless one. The real freedom is accomplished when we obey to God. Jonah received the words to go to Nineveh. Then to Koreans living in the 21st century, where is Nineveh? We need prayers for North Korea and Korean Peninsula remaining as a divided country and make efforts for reunification. On March 1st at a security conference in Munich, Germany, former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger warned that military conflict is not ruled out in Asia, given deteriorating tension between China and Japan. The year 2014 is the 100th year of the outbreak of the World War I. Because political situation of Northeast Asia and that of late 19th century of Europe is similar, world leaders and scholars point out that Northeast Asia is the most concerned area of military conflict. Recently, nationalism is rising fast in the Northeast Asia. It's not nationalism of love and respect of one's own nation, but tends to grow into nationalistic chauvinism. Politicians may cause conflicts inciting nationalism and strengthens their own position, but Christians should not be influenced by that. China and Japan, which are close in distance but distant in sentiments, are holy duty to us, and those we have to love with will are real. On September 9th, 2012, Reverend Lee Jae-chul proclaimed his dream of relationship between Korea, China, and Japan, and the birth of European Union. The European Union was started by a small number of Christians like the Prime Minister Adenauer after the World War II, with the spirit of never having a war in that land again, and it was achieved 60 years later. As long as there are Christians who accept Korean Peninsula as a place of calling, loving the closest neighbors, Chinese and Japanese, with all their willpower, in Jesus Christ, God will establish Northeast Asia Union where Korea, China, and Japan coexist peacefully like today's Europe. Overcoming the history of unforgettable pain in the past, we have to love with our will and pray, accepting God's will to provide grace and forgiveness to those lands and people. Let's apply the word given to us today specifically to our lives. Where is Nineveh to us? Where is Tarshish that Jonah tried to go? In our lives, it is difficult to clearly distinguish Tarshish from Nineveh. Tarshish and Nineveh appears in our lives every moment. Unless we are awake, our life as a worldly man and that as one with calling cannot be distinguished. If we follow worldly values in our places, it will be Tarshish. But if we follow our callings, feeling holy duties, that will be Nineveh. We should work that our words and deeds can become the message of the God. We should not choose the way of fleeing, running away from God with narrow understanding and bias like Jonah, but should follow the way to Nineveh as those with callings, delivering gospels through our lives. Let us pray. Father God, as our place of daily lives become our Nineveh, help us live the life sharing the light of life, the life of service. May the day of reunification with North Korea come soon, and let us become the foundation of this important work. Help us love our closest neighbors, Chinese and Japanese, with the heart of Christians, so that beautiful and peaceful relationship can be established. Help us follow the way of obedience, delivering gospel through our lives, seeking God's face. Not as Jonah, who chose Tarshish, fleeing from the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.